let's learn where we are in the. We're in the. It's a very somber sefer. Yeah, we're up to. We're middle of Perek Zayin. We're towards the beginning. I just want to go back one pasuk, not to do the entire, just to run through very quickly, because I just want to share with you a few more short ideas that I came across in this sefer. Okay, so we're up to Perek Zayin. Let's start from pasuk Hey. We really did pasuk Hey, but let's just review it. We were in the middle. Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey, Toiv. Toiv here will translate it as better. Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey. Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey, Toiv l'shmoya garas chacham me'ish shemeya shir kisilim. So Toiv, the simple translation is it's better. If we're comparing the beginning of the Pasuk to the end of the Pasuk, you have a choice. You can either go hear the song of the fools from an ish. We're comparing two different types of people. That's part of the difficulty with the structure of the pasuk. The word ish appears at the end of the pasuk and does not appear in the beginning of the pasuk. We would expect there to be a parallel. Toiv ish shemea garas chacham me ish shemea shir kisilim. Or to leave out the word ish at the end of the pasuk. Toiv l'shmea garas chacham mi shemea shir kisilim. There's something a little bit. The structure of the pasuk a little bit off. So either it means that we should. Are we dealing here with two different people, or are we dealing here with one person? If you assume that the word ish is to be repeated twice, it appears that we're dealing with two different people. We're comparing Reuven to Shimon. Reuven is a person who goes to hear Shiurim. He goes to hear the Garas Chacham, the wise men shout and scream and give Musar. And then there is Shimon, who goes to the movies. He goes to the opera. He goes to hear the Shir of the Kisilim. So Shlomo is saying, better be, associate yourself with the people who listen to the Garas Chacham, better than the people, the Ish, the individual who goes to hear the Shir Kisilim. So we're dealing with two different people. Now, I mean, if not for Shlomo saying this, you would think, well, let's deal with the person himself, one person. A person has a choice. I can go today, there's an opera at 11 o'clock, or there's a good Shir at 11 o'clock.
Where do you get a plural in the person?
I'm talking about a person, an individual. We're comparing two individuals.
Right.
Toiv is better. Who is better?
Well, Me'ish then is unnecessary.
Exactly. Right. Make believe the word ish appeared in the beginning of the pasuk. Toiv ish, the individual. I'm adding another word ish into the pasuk. Toiv ish.
Shomea.
Who you take out the lamed. Toiv ish shomea garas chacham me'ish shomea shir kisilim. It's like a Rebbe. A Rebbe has in front of him two talmidim, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, he goes to the shir, and Shimon, he goes to the baseball game. So which of the two talmidim am I going to take as an Aiden? I'm going to take the student who is the shomea garas chacham, better than take for an Aiden the one that shomea shir kisilim. Now, if not for Shlomo HaMelech writing the pasuk in the Sasha, you would say, why do you have to deal with two different students? Why can't we deal with the person himself? There's one person, and the person, good morning. All right, Kalish, I apologize to you. I didn't come to your kiddush. I sent a message to your granddaughter. What?
It's your loss.
I know. I came the next day, though. I'll tell you the whole story. Okay. The second interpretation is, you would assume the pasuk. If not for Shlomo writing the pasuk in this fashion, you would assume that we're dealing with one person, and one individual has a choice. He either can go to hear the Garas Chacham, or he can go and hear the Shir Kisilim. So the question is, why are we breaking up? Why is the pasuk addressing two individuals and comparing Reuven to Shimon instead of dealing with one person and telling him, listen, you have a choice. You can go to the shir or you can go to the movies. It's better to go to the shir than to go to the movies. The answer is, okay, this is a drush. It's not necessarily so bad for a person to go to both. One person. there's what to learn from everything in this world. What, it's so terrible to go to the opera. What's so terrible? I was listening to one of these tapes from Rabbi Kevin in Europe. All of the biggest Rosh Yeshivas, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and who's the third? Rav Chudno. They all went to the opera. They all went to the opera. So. In the old heterium, you know. You need a heter, it's so hard to find.
It's a fat lady that's
okay, so the point of here is this is a drush. Good morning, welcome back. This is a drush. It's not Shlomo HaMelech is not describing a single individual and is telling him it's better to go to the shir than to go to the opera. Because it's not necessarily better. In other words, you can do you a person, a healthy person. Again, today everything is, you know, today we live in a world of black and white. There's no in between today. But generally, a healthy person learns, has what to learn from every experience in life. I'm not saying talking about doing the Dover Osir. I'm talking about the Oifen Mutter. The point is what is the ikar? Here, by describing two different people, what is breaking it up is there are certain people who their ikar in life, is to listen to the garas chacham. That is their ikar. That's where they're rooted. And then there are people who their ikar focus is to listen to the shir kesilim. When you want to compare two individuals who have chosen a path in life, better choose for yourself a path in life where your primary focus is Torah, is the Yiras Shamayim and Musar, than to be like the people whose focus in life is to go to the opera. People who go to the opera, they're also good people. They also Yodei HaSefer, they can be Talmidei Chachamim. But what's the ikar by them? Them is the Shumea Shir Kisilim. So by distancing these two different ideas, the Shir Kisilim and the Garas Chacham, to two separate individuals, he's hinting that a healthy person has to also know what's going on in the world. You can't be 100% only the Garas Chacham. You go out of your mind if you only listen to the Garas Chacham. There has to be some exposure to what's out there in the Shir Kesilim.
You want to be, you have to know what the other people are thinking.
Okay, that's another mahal, right? That's another idea that we bring out. But this, I think, is a very fundamental thing that why is he describing here two separate individuals? The word me'ish, the Mepharshim make this point. The word me'ish in the middle of the pasuk stands out. Does not belong there. It should really have just said toiv l'shmoya garas chacham mishmoya k'shir kisilim. The fact that it says me'ish forces us al derech pshat to add another ish into the beginning of the pasuk. So we're dealing with two different classes of individuals. This is a little bit different. We'll do it again in a moment. So we're dealing with two different classes of individuals, which basically mean both individuals have both. They have exposure to the Shir Kisilim, and they have exposure to the Garas Chacham, but the question is, what's the Ikar and what's the Tofel? How do you define yourself?
Can't hear you louder.
He's making a joke. You don't want to hear it. Okay. That's one idea. Now there are more ideas. Let's just run through the Metzudas again very quickly. Let's just review the Metzudas. Tov l'shmaya. Yoyser tov l'shmaya garas nezifa min hachacham. Af ki yachrid es liv. Even though the chacham is going to cause your heart to become fearful, be terrified, become mokum l'toyv yichashev. It's always good to hear a little bit musar. Ki ein derech hachacham l'shmaya garas nezifa kim liyasher haderech. He's not just coming to terrify you for no reason. There's a purpose. He's coming to straighten you out. Im kein hagara hi l'toyvas hashmaya. Me'ish Ratzalaymar, he's coming to address why is there an extra word me'ish? Ratzalaymar, af im hu ish chashuv yorei elokim, asher loyokel rosh, bavur shmias hashir. We're dealing here with a different individual. We're dealing here with We're dealing here according to the mahalach of the mitzvah. This is a theme, the theme that he's going to present now, he's going to present again and again in the next couple of psukim. The mitzvah is very, he's a very big believer in not polluting your mind with any nonsense, because it will ultimately affect the purity of your Torah, of your Yirah Shemayim. Even though a person can think, what's the big deal? I spend most of the time learning and davening and going to shul. So a little recreation. I once had an argument with someone in yeshiva many years ago. A person is, you learn 17 hours a day, and then there's 1 hour left. 1 hour, what are you going to do during that 1 hour? Either you can do nothing, absolutely nothing, or you can, during that 1 hour, you can learn a little apikorsis. you can use your mind for something creative. So basically, there are two mahalchim. There are people who hold, since you spent 18 hours learning Torah, by learning 1 hour to know da malahoshev li apikores, it's not so bad to know, to be exposed to what's going on out in the world, to read a good novel, to watch a baseball game, to listen to the news. And you'll take that and you will use that to enhance
creatively.
Others will say, others argue, these are the Balei Mussar, they argue, it's better to sit that 1 hour and do absolutely nothing, to be idle. Waste, if you're not going to learn, because it's just overload, information overload. I already, 17 hours, how much can I learn? I need it ready to relax. Better sit, be Yoyeshev Gotel for 1 hour than. Then use your mind for any creative activity that's outside the world of Torah. Why? Because of the danger. This is exactly what the Mitzudas is saying. This is a very controversial approach. Because that 1 hour may corrupt your mind. Even though you think the 17 hours of Torah is the ikar and you're in control, and you're only doing this l'shem shemayim in order da malachosh l'apikores, are you really so sure that it's not going to leave a little residue of apikorsis in your mind? You never know. Better sit and be yoyshev bottle. That's a pretty serious thing. Yoyeshev bottle then ruin your mind. So here the Mitzudas is taking, really, he's leaning. I'm not saying that he's saying this, but he's definitely leaning toward the other approach. He's saying, better listen to the Garas Chacham than go Me'ish. Now he seems to be saying Me'ish. The reason why the Pasuk is repeating the word Me'ish, it seems more of a Jewish, is the second person really is the same thing as the first person. The second person is this, but he also likes the recreation. He's the Me'ish. He's the same person. The second person you're going to hear a shir from, he's giving you the same Musa Shmuz. He's the same as the first person. The only difference is, him, during his 18th hour, he listened to the shir Kisilan. So what's the difference? I go to Reuven, Reuven's giving me the Musa Shmuz, and Shimon's giving me the exact same Musa Shmuz. But you don't realize, the Me'ish, the second individual, he's tainted. His mind has been influenced by the sheer Kisilim. Again, this is a controversial approach. This is what he says. Af im hu ish choshuv. Yoshev, this audience is the most choshev audience here, the most biggest, yes, the most open to the ideas.
But not an audience
that's
cut off from the
world. Let's see. Me'ish, so af im hu ish choshev, he's a yorei Elokim. Shem aleichem.
Okay.
Afim ish choshev yorei Elokim asher lo yokel roish ba'avur shmias hashir. A good person. It's not his ikar in life to listen to the shir kisilim. The yesh imkein bezemin atoif. And adarabah, he has mylois. He can cheer you up. He has a good jokes. He knows what's going on in the world. There are mylois. Ki misamech eslev u'meisir es hayogun. Through his songs, he can take away sorrow. Now this is shocking what it says here. This is something really powerful stuff. This is the very big chiddush of the Mesudas. Mikol makom hoyel v'hakisilim heim ha-mishayrim. Since this person went to listen to the song of the fools, efshar. It is humanly impossible not to be influenced to some degree by the lack of Yira Shemayim that he will absorb by listening to the Shir Kesila. It's a very shocking thing. Efshar shelo yashmiu lo oizen hashmed, that the fools in the opera house are not going to inject into the ear of this individual dvar kalos roish, some lightheadedness. Ulefi shah, and for a moment, yovoi beliboi machsheves kalos roish, he will have a degree of lack of Yira Shemayim. And that will come out when he gives a Musar Shmuz. It may seem to be Mila b'mila, word for word, a carbon copy of the Bal Musar from the Vardik. It may seem to be exactly the same thing, but there's going to be a small little degree of Kalas Rosh, because he was also influenced by this is something which in our generation we don't hear, but go back to Slobodka and the Vardik and the Balei Musar. These were real heated issues. If this type of idea, if you should be exposed to culture, what degree of culture, philosophy? I mean, it probably goes back to the Rambam, the Gemara Nevuchim. The Rambam, the Sephardic Jews versus the Jews in Germany and France, the difference in their approach to the study of Torah. The Sephardic Jews, they studied philosophy. They were integrated. But many, they believed, but Rabbi Yonah won, Rabbi Yonah won.
He was the one who
wrote against the Rambam, and the Rambam himself, in Moreh Nevuchim, he writes, so, and I'm saying it's controversial to embrace the culture and to use the culture as a means to serve Hashem is a dangerous approach. It's not for everyone. It's for some, but not for all. In different strokes for different folks.
Right, but he's not saying that. He said it's really for no one.
Okay. Good point. You're right. He's saying this as a matter of, this is the pshat, the universal. Enochanami. Everyone likes to read their worldview into, okay, enochanami. But we know from hindsight is 2020, that we know different strokes for different folks. There are different types of people, and what works for one does not work for the other. Okay, so you can't generalize. But that's, I mean, again, this idea you're going to see, he's going to say again over and over in the next couple of psukim. Okay, Rashi, and Pasik, there is no Rashi in this Pasik. Let's just review very quickly the Targum on Pasik, hey. Okay, the Targum says, Tov limitav b'midrash beis ulfono, it is better to sit in the Beis Medrash. So when he says here the Ga'aras Chacham, he makes it very clear that we're not just dealing over here with a Musar Shmuz. We're dealing here with learning Torah in the Beis Medrash. Beis Ulfano. V'le'ule Mishma Nizoif, to hear the rebuke. Gvar Chakimov, the wise men Be'oirais, so the Talmud Chacham. Migvar De'ozel L'mishma Kol Tavla, better than the Givar. Okay, the Targum is not learning. The Targum is also learning like the Mitzvah, so a different individual. Better to go here, the Ozel Mishma Kal Tavla, the song, the Shotyon, the song, the sound of the song. Tavla means the song of the fools. So he's not waxing eloquent, the Targum, by telling us that the one who is the fool, the person that is singing, he is also a Talmud Chacham, and he's giving Musar. It's just that he's been slightly influenced by the Shir Kisim. He just says it's better for a person to go to learn in the Beis Medrash than it is to go to the opera to hear the songs from the Kisilim. Okay, now there are a few short ideas. Okay, one idea is that we're dealing with the same person. Again, this also addresses the question that we started with. Why does it say the word ish in the middle of the pasuk and does not say, now this idea is just pumfaker from what the mezuzah says. The extreme opposite. The total extreme opposite. 180 degrees. Again, the question is, why does it say the word me'ish in the middle of the pasuk? Our original question. Why are we not just dealing over here with a person, and he's given a choice. He can go to a shir, go to a concert, and is giving the directions, go to the shir. We're dealing with two different people, Reuven, Shimon. Reuven likes to go to the shir, Shimon likes to go to the concert, and Shlomo is telling us, be like Reuven, don't be like Shimon. So here in this sefer from and this is interesting, who it says to Rabbi Eliezer Galikai. Rabbi Eliezer Galikai was in the Mekubal. It's very holy, very assessing, very beautiful ideas in this in Kailas. He says that we're dealing with one person. The reason why it says Me'ish, we're dealing with the same person. The Pasuk is telling you that if you have a choice to go to a Musa Shmuz from a person who's Kula Torah, and the alternative is to go to a person who's also 100% Torah, but has also gone to the opera. Go to the Musa Shmuz from the Talmud Chacham who went to the opera. Because you'll be able to relate to him better than the one who's in the Beis Medrash 100 to 100, just the opposite of the Mitzvahs. And he reads the passage, Toivitz good l'shmoya, to listen to the Garas Chacham. If the Chacham is that person who is also an Ish, Me'ish, who is the Chacham? The Chacham is the Me'ish. He is the person that is Shoymeya Shir Kisilim, because he knows what's going on out in the world. He knows. So it's Pumfakher, just the opposite of what. So you can read the Pasuk both ways. Okay, and he even says something even more controversial. He said, I'll read you over here the exact words. I'm sorry, he says it a little bit different. Okay, what I told you is one of Mahalach. Then there's a little bit of a variation. The variation is, it is a different approach, very similar. It's kedai to hear words of MS, Garas Chacham, even if it comes from a source that's not 100%. Me'ish shamei ashir kisilim. If the kisil, the fool who's singing songs, is saying words that are true, that have meaning, take the truth from where it comes. Uchamaymar hechacham. But I remember that kabeles ha'emes mimi she'amara. Accept the truth from where it came. Now, this used to be a very big issue. One of the first really good chumashim, English chumashim with commentary before art school, before probably already now there are hundreds, was the Hertz Chumash. And that was a classic. That was a classic in many, many, many shuls, the Hertz Chumash. Problem is, the Hertz Chumash quotes, there are 95%, 95% are very good sources, but 5% comes from Apikursim.
Jewish sources or modern sources?
Worse than modern. Amamish Apikursim. Look in the Hagdama, in the introduction. Take the truth even from a Jesuit priest, he writes. That's what he says in the Hagdama. So that enraged the Haredi world. When they wrote that,
it's the Haredi, there was a rabbi here in law, he threw in his shul on Shabbos.
He told him to throw him out.
Threw it in the garbage. Somebody showed him what it said. He took the chumash and he flung it across the shul.
See, if it wouldn't have written that in the introduction, he would have gotten away with it. Because how many things already did he quote? He quoted maybe a whole chumash, 5-10 things. I don't know exactly, but it was so insignificant. But in the introduction, he wrote, accept the truth from where it comes, even from, who knows, from... Chazal say you take this, but okay, this generation we're very sensitive to...
Haidlein wrote a dictionary of words.
Yeah. So
one word from the Chumash that he couldn't understand. So he said, you know, I'll go over to the local...
The priest, yeah.
They have Greek translation, and I'll see how they translate it.
Figure it out.
So one of his Tamina said, how could you go to the church? Mikol Malam Deiskalti.
Okay, Mikol Malam Deiskalti. They take it to the extreme. Okay,
in a Hanami.
Okay, in Echonami. So this is something which...
It's
okay, in Echonami. It's just, you have to be careful. So you have to be one person...
The innovators are the ones who are against it.
What?
Those who are against it are the innovators. They're the which means originally there was no problem, you know?
I don't know. There was always controversy.
It would be a problem by later generations. Who did the Rambam learn about Aristotle from? He learned it from another Gadol? He didn't. He didn't.
The Abarbanella Don Gracious quotes Aristotle and Plato and says he quotes the Rambam quoting Aristotle and Plato.
So he quotes.
But he disagrees with it.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk vav ki chol hasidim tachas hasir kein tzchay kakasil v'gam zehavel. Like the sound of the thorns underneath the pot, likewise is the laughter of the fool v'gam zehavel, and this is futile. Okay, let's take a look at the mitzudos. We're referring here to thorns. Let's see pasuk vav in the mitzudos. Tavid ki kol hasidim kimo kol tiveres koytzim shetachas hasir. Yashmiu kol kishkush yikashkeshu besir. When you have thorns, there are different types of fuels that can be used to heat up a pot, a series of pot. There are fuels that don't make any sound. A piece of wood, a log, a piece of wood. When a piece of wood burns underneath a pot, there is no sound. When one burns, if there's moisture, that's why in the Beis Hamikdash they were super careful to only to select wood that did not have any moisture, there should not be any sound. And then if a person uses thorns, the thorns make a lot of noise as they are consumed. So the pasuk here is comparing the fools, the laughter. This pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasuk. The shir kisilim. What is the problem with the shir kisilim? The shir kisilim is empty cans make a lot of noise. They say we're just like the big logs. We're just like the big talmidei chachamim. The big talmidei chachamim, they compare it to the cedars. Arzei halavonan adiri haTorah. What's the advantage of using wood? Fuel. Fuel is the most important thing in this world. And the cerium, the thorns, they provide the same fuel. You put the fuel underneath the pot, it also heats up and also is cooked. So the fools, they say that we are equal to the Talmidei Chachamim. In addition, and they make a lot of noise expressing that their equality. That's the nature of the cerium. One more time, kikumo tiv eres koitzim shetachas hasir, just like the burning of thorns underneath the pot, yashmiu, it gives forth a sound called kishkush, yikash kishu basir, it gives forth a sound of crackling when it heats up the pot, v'lo yovoi beseder miyushur kederech shabo mikli hanigun, and does not come in order.
Doesn't have any rhythm.
Okay, doesn't it just makes a lot of noise. There's no rhythm. Kain sechoik, kain gam sechoik simchas hashir miyakasil. Likewise, is the joy, the joy of the fool. Ki lo yovay b'seder miyushur k'derech hashir, avol ye'erev bo divrei kalos reish. So that's the theme. Again, the mitzudos stuff is going back. See, the Rashi is going to say something very different. I really was hitting upon Rashi. But the mitzudos is going back to the theme of the previous pasuk, that there is no seder, there is no structure, there is no hadrocha. Just like the thorns, they give off a rattling sound which has no rhythm. Likewise, their songs, their kesilim, their entertainment is nothing more than kalos roish, and it is not productive, and it corrupts, it taints the minds of those people that listen. Gam zehavel. Now, what does the pasuk mean when the pasuk includes this is futile? Lechein gam zehavel im kiyesh b'ashir. Ma min hatoiv. Even if the song, you'll say the song is good. It's good for the purpose of recreation. It makes a person happy. There is benefit to the song. Ki misamech halev umeisur hayagon im kol zehu hevel. Why? What's the hevel? Again, the same thing. Because yotza sechoroi behefseidai. The small amount of kalos roish that's mixed into the happiness, the simcha that comes with the shir, takes away the benefit of the song. Uma'arev boy divrei kalos roish. Very powerful stuff, which I think in this generation we're not really, it's not a very popular idea in this generation. I think we're much more into looking at the good and hoping that the bad doesn't affect us. And there are people that always say, Bali Musa saying, that I see Bachrim walking around the whole day with headphones, listening to the songs of all the latest celebrities, Jewish celebrities, and they're singing psukim, animamin, and every pasuk that you could. I never saw someone, after we finished listening to 3 hours worth of music, sit down and learn a daf gemara. I never saw him go daven a mincha with a new degree of yirah shemayim. Never saw it. Now, is that really true? Is that really true?
Who knows?
Exactly, who knows?
Mr. Barov that you admire was known for being anti-music, period, well, in just about any form.
Which Rav? don't say. Oh, that Rav. Okay. 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 I don't know. On the other hand, I just over Yom Tov. I read in the Mishpacha magazine they had this beautiful article about
they
had two Shweki was an Ami. They had an interview with Shweki. All the same theme, and with this new superstar Steinmetz.
The kid.
What's his name? What's his first name? His last name is Steinmetz. And they had a third interview with Mendelowitz. Is that his name?
Shil Mendelowitz.
So what comes out from all three articles are the koyach of music. How it really changes and influences people. And
Shlomo
Melech, the Ruach HaKodesh came upon him when he was Menagin. In a Chinami. Yeah, but you can't really keep Shlomo Melech dealing with the time of the Nevi'im. How do you take that and apply it in this generation? But those who you read those articles, you're very inspired. You see the koyach of what they have done with their music. And he writes about the vision of Sarebbe, how he was singing and they were crying. And so there's definitely something to it. For their music. Okay, so you can't really, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. The Mitzudas David is, in this manner, a very extreme, is going to a very extreme degree. And he's coming to reject anything which has any form of the Shir Kisilim. If there's some small degree of Kalas Roish, it takes away from the Mila of the music. All right, it's a little bit extreme.
Of the
Garas Chacham, of the learning. Yeah. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi Pasuk Vav says ki kol asirim atzei koitzim, thorns. Okay, he has a word here in French. Tachas asir, tachas sir, nechoshes hakofli al tiveres koitzim. On the gezuntayt, underneath the sir, nech. A copper pot, hakofli al taveres, that is placed, positioned on top of a flame, a pyre of koitzim, vehem mikashkeshim lesoicha, and it is rattling inside. So this is the possible. That's what they're said. That's what it sounds like. That's the end of his description. Omar Rebbe Shehu Yeshua ben Levi, kokisa. Every thorn kad inun dalkin less kolon ozil. All kis kikasi means pieces of wood. Kol kis, every log of wood kad inun dalkin, when they burn, when they are ignited, less kolon ozil, their sound does not travel. A log of wood as it burns does not produce the sound. However, beram holain siriyasa, these thorns kolhoin ozil, their sound travels. Lemeimar, it is as if the thorns are speaking. Af anan min kisya, we're also logs of wood. The reason why thorns make a lot of noise when they are consumed is because they're trying to tell the world we're also fuel. We're just as good as the big logs. You think only the big trees? They're chashev. We're also chashev. They make it known. They make it known to the world. Af anu min ha'etzim. We're also etzim. The yesh tsarich banu. And there's a purpose for us. Af hakisilim. So to the foolish people in this world, also they make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise. There's always the silent majority. Why is it the silent majority? Because the majority, they're silent. The majority, the smart people, they don't make much noise. It's only the minority, no?
You always tell me about this in politics. In politics, the majority are silent. It's the minorities who make all the noise and influence people. Afakisilim. How many people in the United States are from the category of the same gender marriage? Less than 3%, or even less than that? Tiny, 1%. Less than that? Even less. And if you read the news, you would think it's like 95%. No? Isn't that the impression you get? But the percentage is like teeny masho. So that's what it says. It says over here, V'yesh sarich banu af hakasilim marbim devarim loymar gam anu min hachashuvim. We're also from the chashuvim. Now the pasuk goes on to say gam zehavel, the omel hu, this is a corruption. It is a corruption. Shemosra kadosh baruch hu lebriyos liyos yigiyim umikantirim bohem. Hakadosh baruch hu have given them over. The omel hu why shemosra kadosh baruch hu lebriyos liyos yigiyim is to fight with them. Hashem has given us the thorns in order to. It is our mission to destroy them. That's what it says. Yagiyim umekantrim bohem, to fight with them. I'm not exactly sure what this means. Gam zehavel. The omel hu shemosar. This is an omel. This is a form of work. Omel means toil. Gam zehavel. He's translating the word hovel to mean toil. That's really the next pasuk. I'm not sure. V'amol hu shemosar hakadosh baruch hu lebriyos lihios yagiyim umikantarim bohem. I'm not really sure what that means. All right, let's take a look at the targum. Pasuk vav. Okay, arum kikol kivilas kuvin dimi. Toitim, like the sound of kivila. Kivilas means the kikol kivilas kuvim of the thorns, and the kivilas means the crackling. The crackling, the sound of the crackling of the thorns. Dimi toikdin, which are being burnt to chois duda underneath the pot. Kidain, likewise, is kol choicha, is the sound of laughter. The shatya of the fools. Aftain havlu, this also is not worth anything. This also is okay. So he just very, very simply translates the words. Okay, now there are a few things here. He just has one interesting idea. He says that animals don't have the concept of song. Animals, you don't find. I don't know if it's birds. They chirp. It's right. It's not. So it's not really 100% accurate. But let's talk about.
I've never heard a cow sing.
You never heard a cow sing. But what about birds? Even from our ears, we don't hear the sophistication in. Maybe we do in the song of animals.
Whales and dolphins.
They have song. They have a very complex communication system.
Yeah.
Okay, but he says, what is the chokhmah of a human being? The chokhmah of a human being over an animal is, the advantage of a human being over an animal is wisdom. Animals, in our standards, don't have chokhmah. A human being has intellect, and animals do not have intellect. So, the chachamim of this generation, of every generation, they show the world their advantage of being a human being over an animal through their chokhmah. The kesilim also try to show the world that even though we may not have chokhmah, the chokhmah of Torah, the chokhmah of science, but through tzchik, let's talk about through laughter, through comedy, through entertainment, that is something that is not found among animals. So it has value. Anything in this world where you can show is something that is only possessed by human beings and does not exist by animals is something worthy to pursue. That's a very interesting argument, because The fact that we can do it and animals cannot do it is an indication that this is a mile, an advantage to a human being. So let's say we have an industry, the entertainment industry. Okay, let's not talk about entertainment for the purpose of recreation. Let's just talk about entertainment which does not lead to anything good. Okay, things as forms of entertainment, and we're calling over here the sheer of the kisilim. Obviously there's a sheer that's a sheer that's holy, a sheer of shevach, a sheer that has milas. But let's talk about a type of song that has absolutely no value to society. But still, it is a quality, it is a midah that does not exist by animals. So the fact that this thing exists by human beings, does not exist by animals, that itself is something which is worthy for man to pursue. And that's what the pasuk is trying to say. The kesilim say, we also have a purpose in this world. We're foolish people, we do stupid things, and it would appear that we're not of any benefit to society, but the fact that animals cannot do this, and human beings can do this, that itself is enough of a proof that it's worthwhile. It's something of value. Even though people in society don't perceive it as being value. To this Shlomo says, Gam ze hovel. They're making a big mistake. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. To be from the category of the sheer kesilim, you're right, it's something only a human being can do this. Animals can't do this. So you're showing your advantage, your mila of being a human being over being an animal. So, that's enough. I have succeeded. No. Hashem put you in the world to achieve, to accomplish things that are worthwhile, that have real value, not just to have value in being greater than animals. This is an idea that I think the Alshech, no, not the Alshech, this is from the Gra. That's from the Gra, how the Gra learned Pshat and this Pasuk. Okay, that's a very powerful idea. It's a schoik that's not nimsa by animals, and therefore the kesilim feel it's worthwhile to prove their superiority over animals. No, you have to be productive in this world. Gam zehovel. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk zayin ki ha'oshek yehoilul chacham v'abed etzleiv matana. The word oshek is a very difficult word to translate in this pasuk. Oshek can be translated many ways. The Mitzudo Stava translates it kantar v'irur. It means strife, machloikis, dispute, contention. Oshek yeholol chacham. When a wicked person provokes a wise man, it causes the chacham to lose his wisdom and to become foolish. The word yeholol means foolish, and we're going to see this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu and Dasan va'aviron. When Dasan va'aviron provoked Moshe Rabbeinu, well, how dare you speak to Paro, and by speaking to Paro, you've caused Paro to add more labor, to give us, to we have to now to collect the straw. We've made our life more difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. So he went back to Kadosh Baruch Hu and he complained, Ribbono Shel Olam, ever since you sent me to redeem these people, it's only gotten worse. So Hashem said, how dare you talk to me like that? You don't see the big picture. So what was Moshe thinking? Moshe was the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. There was no one more great, no wiser person than Moshe Rabbeinu. Even Shlomo HaMelech says that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater in Chochmah than him. The answer is, when someone provokes you, when you have a balabas who makes trouble, it can cause the Rav to lose his Chochmah. Oshek, contention, Yehoilel Chacham, can cause the wise man to become foolish.
What the Gemara says about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when he was bargaining for the base, you know,
Beis Hamikdash.
He said they complained to him about what he asked for. So one of the sukkim that they caught on the block there says that he was, because of the stress of the situation,
he didn't ask for more.
His chachma.
Interesting. The abe, now
the word you use is stress. See, oshek is usually oppression, but stress or under pressure,
right,
could fit that.
Yeah.
Okay, then the pasuk includes the abed eslev matana, and simply it means the pasuk is a continuation. It's not a separate idea. It's a continuation. The oshek, contention, strife will cause a person to lose the gift of the heart. Of under, lev here is referring to understanding, insight. Matana, which is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem bestows a human being with the gift of intellect, of knowledge. It's a lev matana. And that gift of understanding can be lost, the abed, due to the stress, the contention of fighting with other people. Let's see the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David says, Ki oshek ki oimer, this means to say, Im ho'ish hechacham hazeh yigar bakasilim. Now, I told you, could be what I told you really was with Rashi. It could be, I didn't tell you what the Mitzudas is going, so let's go slow. If this individual, hachacham hazeh yigar bakasilim, b'shamay ki yidaber divrei kalos roish, if this wise man screams at the fools when he hears them speak foolish things, im kol zeh loitoiv l'shmaya, ki kishe yigar bohem, in other words, this chacham would prefer to go to the opera and to listen to their songs so that he will give them mussar. That's what the pasuk suggests according to the Mitzudas. Afim u'ich ha'chacham hazeh yigar bakasilim b'shamay ki yidaber divrei kalos roish. Im kol zeh loitoiv l'shmaya. Don't go to the opera with the intent that you'll listen to what they have to say and then you will give them mussar. Because you will, we said before, because you will become out damaged goods. Ki kishe yigar bohem. Because when you're going to debate them, you're going to shout at them, yashivu gam heim divrei kantar. They're going to scream back at you. The arvavu das hechacham, ultimately they're going to confuse you. The abed eslev hachochman, you're going to lose your heart of wisdom. The daber gamhu bili das, ultimately in the debate, when you engage yourself in conversation with these people, you're going to lose your wisdom. L'chein toiv l'oleches mineged. So according to the parish of the Mitzudos, this pasuk Zayin is a complete continuation from the previous Tupsukim. Stay away from the shir kisilim. Because the shir kisilim will lead to no good, even if your kavan is, I'm only going there to engage them in debate. Ultimately, you're going to become out damaged goods by being influenced, and you're going to lose your chachma and your lev chachma. Okay, Rashi says something a little bit different. Pasuk Zayin, ki oishak yel chacham, kishak esil mikante. This is what I told you. I told you, this really comes from the Medrash. And this is one in the different interpretation. When the foolish person, Mekanter, he provokes Esachacham, Ma'arvev Daito, he causes the wise men to get confused. The Gamhu Nichshal, and the wise men will ultimately stumble. And the example given is Dasan Va'aviram. Kinteru Es Moshe, they provoke Moshe, Loimar, Yere Hashem Aleichem V'Yishpoy. May Hashem see what you have done, and may Hashem judge you. May Hashem punish you for causing us all of these tsars. Until you came, Moshe Rabbeinu, we had a good life here, we were slaves, but at least we were able to deal with the situation. When you came to Paro, and you told Paro to let them go free, Paro said they have too much idle time on their hands, and now they have to go into the fields and gather the straw themselves. The Goymer, and what happened? The Ir Vivuhu, it caused Moshe to get confused. The Ibdu es Libo, it caused him to lose his discerning heart. The Garmulo Shehikbid Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spoke harshly out against HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's V'omar V'hatzel Lo Hitzalta Es Anecha, you have failed to save these people. V'nenash V'davar, he was punished. Now this is very interesting what Rashi says V'nenash, because if you read the Medrash over Yom Tov, I had a chance to go spend some time on the Midrashim. It's amazing. All of the Rashis come straight out of the Midrashim. The Midrashim are very, very long. Massively long, and Rashi just picks little teeny pieces here and there. It's fascinating. Really, if I had copies, I would really maybe like to do the Midrash also, go to all the Midrashim. It's not all that hard. But anyway, I have an idea we can get copies of the Midrash, make photocopies. Did you translate this, Ramachol?
Not Kohelet, no.
You translated Rus.
Nobody translated it. At least the one.
I'm talking about his set, and your set, and your set, this set. Yeah, Rabbi Chol, he wrote, you contributed to Rus.
Rus and Esther.
And Esther, okay.
And someone else did Eicha.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome, how are you?
Someone else did Eicha, and actually I did Devarim, but today I'll publish
it. You did Devarim?
Yeah.
And it wasn't published yet?
Yeah, no.
Not yet? No. Okay. So it's interesting. I was reading the art scroll, and the Medrash, they go through this Medrash, and there the Medrash is not exactly clear at the end of the Medrash if Moshe was punished. And he, in the notes, it presents a number of interpretations. The Medrash is very vague. Moshe Rabbeinu complained, Dosan Vaviram, provoked Moshe. Moshe got angry. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu harsh words, Yatzilo Yatzalta. There's a debate. Then the Medrash concludes, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, listen, you don't know what's going on. Calm down. You don't know what's going on. The Medrash is vague. It's not clear in the Medrash. The Medrash's response, did Hashem punish Moshe Rabbeinu? Or Hashem just said to Moshe, Moshe, calm down. Everything will be okay. The end will be good. But there was no punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he presents in the footnotes different opinions. You can look it up, different opinions if Moshe was punished. Rashi here is taking sides. Rashi here is saying, Vinenash. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu,
not
you have to go.
Rashi, all the people that Rashi say that
he was punished. But not everyone says he was punished, because the Medrash is not explicit. It just says Hashem responded. And the response can be interpreted different ways. Rashi here says, Vinenash Badavar, Sheshivi Ato Tire, and the words that the response was, Ato Tire, V'loy Tire Bibulchemes Lamed Aleph Malachim. That's not what it says in the Medrash. All it says in the Medrash is the Pasuk Ato, the Medrash concludes with the Pasuk Ato Tire. I think that was subject to debate what exactly Kadosh Baruch Hu meant with the words Atatira. Rashi is providing interpretation. Moshe, I had kavana that you would enter Eretz Yisrael and see the miracles that of the feet of the 31 kings of Canaan, but because you complained to me, you will not enter Eretz Yisrael. Now what's the obvious kasha? That's not the reason why Moshe did not enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe was denied entrance to Eretz Yisrael because of the chait of the Mehameriva. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock.
It's a similar idea.
So what do you? So, but the psukim are explicit. Moshe over and over. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed entrance into Eretz Yisrael because he hit the rock. So what in the world is Rashi over here saying that Ata Tire, you will see, because you spoke harshly to me, you will see the miracles that I will do for Bnei Yisrael when I take them out of Mitzrayim, but you will not merit to see the greater miracles that will take place when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. You are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash, according to Rashi, is telling Moshe Rabbeinu right from the very start, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. That's a very big chiddush, because we, the psukim indicate that was the Mehameriva. So obviously you see why the other commentators disagree with Rashi, and Atatir is not meant to be as a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. Atatir was just saying, Moshe, you're a little excited. I understand why you're excited. Dasan Vavim got you. You're not held accountable. It's not your fault. Calm down. Everything will be good at the end.
Okay, but some of the Mepharshim talk about the punishment being more than Moshe Rabbeinu physically not going into the land. Part of the punishment was also not even being buried there.
Two different. There are many.
Tolos of Osham. Anytime it says Shom means you.
He didn't take his body.
Buried there. The word Shom means even.
His body was not taken.
Take a look. Every time he used the word Shom or Shama, there's a difference in what took place.
There are many dimensions to the chait, to the punishment.
So that's what it says. He won't even go in. And
okay.
That's why, like the shot on Ishmitz Reed, Tzilanu Miyada Roim, he didn't protest. That's what it says. But hey, for that.
Okay. Okay, let's finish on the pasuk. Lev matana. Yeah.
Usually, Rashi sticks fairly close to the medrash, but here I think he's really.
The medrash is vague. Yes, the Rashi, the word vinenash. He's telling vinenash, you punish. What?
It doesn't say anything about control or.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to point. That's exactly the point I'm making. If you look at the medrash just says has this conversation, and the medrash concludes, and Hashem said to Moshe, Ata tireh. Period. It quotes the entire pasuk, and so what is Hashem's response? So the commentators, they suggest there, some say Hashem was just telling Moshe Rabbeinu calm down. Rashi went the extra mile to interpret Atatir to be a punishment, and Rashi says it very explicitly over here. Okay, next, Leib Matano.
What the Medrash does say is,
yeah,
I never had any complaints from Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
That's the next medrash. But it does not. The medrash does not say here Atatira was a punishment. Does not mention the Lamed Aleph Melachim.
Right.
Doesn't say that.
That's right.
That's Rashi's addition. Maybe you want to say that Rashi had a different girsa. It's very interesting. You look at in the art scroll, over and over they write in the comments, oh, there's another girsa. Just because it says over here, this manuscript, there are many manuscripts of Medrash, and there are many, many versions of the text.
I don't know.
not as much like the Gemara. The Gemara, it's pretty, you know, there are a few nuances.
Karen Caleb discusses it, but I don't know the exact wording.
Okay, let's finish up. Lev matana, lev chachma shi matana le'adam. Here Rashi says, the pasuk says something very fascinating. Lev chachma is a gift. It's a matana. Lev chachma, a discerning heart, shehi matana le'adam shenemar, ki Hashem yitain chachma. Oshek, what is Oshek? He translates Lashon Riv, v'kan turin, to provoke. Yesh panam acherim l'cha, panam acherim, ach, Mafridim hamikros zu mizu. There are other interpretations of this word. However, those interpretations, they separate the psukim one from the other. V'chi ha'omer b'rosh hamikra marchiach shemechubu l'mikra shelofanav. What it says in the beginning of the pasuk indicates that it's connected to the mikra shelofanav. So he's saying over here that this.
That's why, you know, the Rashi that we didn't understand.
Yeah.
About the conflict.
Ah.
But I still don't understand the connection.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All right, so he does allude that there are other interpretations. Indeed, the Mitzudas gave another interpretation. He's referring very, going back to the previous pasuk, telling us that a person should not go and engage in debate with apikorsim. You're looking for trouble. Let's take a look at the at the Targum pasuk Zayin. Arum Anisa Yehasel Bechakima. Okay, Anisa seemingly means. It means strife. Same thing as Rashi. Yehatel bechakima. It causes the wise to become foolish. Begin the law azel be'or chosei. Because he does not go in the way. I'm not sure what he means. Begin the law azel be'or chosei. Umechover b'milo b'shayo yos chachmas lev chakima. And he causes umabed. He causes through these bad words. He causes to lose through bad words the wisdom of the wise heart that was given the is yahaveh the is yahavas le b'matnan min shemaya. Okay, the wise heart. And the pasuk is easy. The lev chakima the is yahavas le b'matnan min shemaya. A person's wise heart has been given to him from Shemayim. That will be lost. It goes back on the word umi oyved. Will be lost through evil words. The evil words cause a person to lose his wise heart. And Oshek Yehol Chacham, I'm not sure what he means over here. I really don't know. Arum Anisa Yehatel Bechakima begin the law Azel Beor Chosei. Seemingly, what it means is that the fools are angry. Why don't the wise follow their ways? Why doesn't the world go in their evil ways? So that contention, that strife where the foolish people try to impose their will upon the Chachamim, right? The fools believe that their derech in this world is correct, and they try to force the Chachamim to follow in their ways. That causes the Chachamim to get angry, and that Chachma, that anger can cause them to lose their Chachma. Okay, I'm not sure more than this. I did, now, there are, yeah.
You know, there are so many times when respected rabbanim are
challenged.
No, but they say something, and then all of a sudden, you know,
big reaction.
It hits the media, and there's this, you know, this whole reaction.
There's a whole industry out there like that, out to get you.
You know, sometimes some ill-chosen words.
They're not meant.
Yeah.
They're not meant. Look, there's a famous story with Rav Herschel Schachter. Rav Herschel Schachter.
Sure.
Right, the Maisa Kaif.
That's
right. So he asked, is a woman allowed to read a ksuba? Is a woman allowed to read a ksuba underneath the chuppah? So he said, yeah, a woman can read a ksuba, it's a Maisa Kaif. And that's a Talmudic term.
Right.
That means, literally means, it's like a monkey. It's not. Basically, he says you can basically, it's like a tape recorder. Theoretically, you could take, today you have technology where you put a text into a computer and the computer talks.
The telephone.
You call on the, you talk, speak on the telephone. It's more often than not a computer generated voice. So computer generated voice, the Gemara's terminology is called the Maisa Kaif. So he says there's no din. He meant to say, what he meant to say, and he explained himself, there's no din that a human being has to say the Ksuba. The reason why we read the Ksuba is to be as certain as a hefsek between the Erisin and the Kedushin. There are two parts to marriage. There's Erisin, there's Kedushin. Ein Oisin Mitzvois, Chavilois, Chavilois. So you're supposed to be mafsek. Sometimes they have a drasha. If you have a drasha, that can serve in place of reading the ksuba. The minig is so you read the ksuba. So reading the ksuba, there's no. It's not like kriyas hamegillah. It's not kriyas hamegillah where you have to read the megillah to have kavan to be yoytze to listen. So he used a term in the Gemara which basically means it's like a tape recorder. Turn on a tape recorder. The person who heard this has no idea, never opened up a daf Gemara, never spent a day in yeshiva, has no idea there's a Talmudic principle called Maisa Kaif. All he needs to hear is that he's comparing a woman to a monkey, and this is sensational. Right. For the Hamoinam, the people who read the papers, there are millions, 3 million people in America, and all they need to hear is a top rabbi at Yeshiva University is calling women monkeys. This is sensational. They have no clue that this is just...
It's a good thing it's not black women.
Talmudic terminology. So it made the headlines. And boy, did it make the headlines. And then when they asked him, I don't think he understood what they were... I don't think he had... The first time when they asked him, he didn't understand they were coming with an agenda. So he said, "You're stark in the Torah." That's right, it's the Maisa Kaif. So that fanned the flames. Because he didn't realize what they were trying to do to him, and they were out for blood, and they got it. So
he was fired.
No, chas v'shalom. But
yeah,
you have to be careful. You have to know your audience.
Rav Avadya was another one.
Avadya, all the rabbanim, anyone who made it to the top,
those two
slaughtered. Avner can tell you all about it. You got to be very careful, especially today's day and age. Today's day and age, it's...
Can I ask Asser to go to the Kaisel this weekend?
But he had to explain himself. He had to explain himself.
He changed his mind last night. He said you could go...
With security. Security. What?
Meanwhile, the Arabs already published what he said. And said,
oh, you see, the Arabs...
The Jews agree that...
The Jews agree because they probably, when they asked, they probably didn't even... He didn't even hear what they were asking him. Like, they take one... This is what goes on. Okay, let's just load one other layer, one concluding thought. Other commentators explained the Sipurno. The Sipurno explained, I think you have it on... No, that's a different interpretation. I'll get to that a little later on. But Oshak means Asek. Asek, interchange the sin for a Samach, which means business. And it basically means, it's so true for today's generation, is that you can't have it all. If you want to be in business, you're not going to be a Talmud Chacham. You'll be a Talmud Chacham, but you're not going to be a major league Talmud Chacham. People in this generation, everyone is out to have Shnei Shulchanos. Torah Gedula B'Mokim Echad. To be a Talmud Chacham, and to be independently wealthy. To be in real estate, and to be in this, and to be in that. And what do you do? Half a day I learn, and half a day I'm in business. So what do you have? You don't have a penny to your name. You don't know anything. You're not Morris. You can't have everything. You have to make choices. And that's what the Pasuk says, according to some of the comments. Ki ha'oishek means, if you want to be in business, you want to be a busy body. What is it called? You want to be busy in whatever you're doing. Yehoilal Chacham, it's going to make the wise man into a fool. You're not going to be able to devote your time properly to learning. Even the time you spend learning, your mind is going to be in the business. I had a Rebbe, he told me that he used to be heavily steeped in the stock market. He gave a shiur, he needs parnas, they don't pay enough to support a family. So he had a chush for the stock market. He understood what, and he gave a shiur, and every day at 6 o'clock, or later when the stock market closed, whatever, part of the day, and he said he quit. He stopped, because the whole shiur, every moment during the shiur, he was cheshvening, this stock, that stock, I have to call my stockbroker to buy, sell. You can't have it all. Even the time that you spend learning, if you are heavily steeped in business, it's going to yehoilel chacham, it's going to cause chacham to lose his chachma. The Abe Lev Matana, so some of the commentators say that this is an independent statement, just a simple idea, and it's talking about a bribe. A matana, a gift, causes a person to lose his chachma. The Abe de slave, if you want to lose the koyach of chachma, matana, start taking gifts. When people start doing things for you for free, start paying for you, doing the services for free, you're guaranteed you're going to lose your chokhmah. Okay, we'll stop here.